105.5 and 97.5. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on The Roar, hour number two of the program. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Real quick, before we get back into the action, if you're looking to get your lawn upgraded and taken to the next level in 2025, maybe the summer months, you're looking to impress your neighbors, you know, kids are out in the yard playing football, whatever your needs may be, Carolina Top Dressing is your destination for pristine lawn care here in the upstate. They're committed to serving the upstate, bringing golf course type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. You can ask them about their latest top dressing amendment and Carolina mix, or sign up for any of their turf services by visiting them online at www.carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, the folks at Carolina Top Dressing say, go Tigers. John, anything else to add before we put a bookmark in the Major League Baseball discourse outside of Chad the Mailman complaining about Nick Allen not hitting any home runs? We obviously have Profar back in the mix tomorrow for Atlanta. We've mentioned the importance of these series in this homestand of trying to tread water and get back to 500. And for the Braves, it's really a simple game right now. Win two out of three games against the opponents you're supposed to, you're going to find a way to chip away at that deficit over time. Still a lot of ball to be played at just over halfway through the season.
No, absolutely. You still have a lot of baseball ahead of you. And I'm curious if this starts to be more of the you're auditioning to keep your job from Alex Anthopoulos time. I'm very curious now that we are here in the month of July and you have Profar coming back. Now we get to really start to assess how Alex Anthopoulos views this lineup, views this team, and what moves he feels can be made to improve it. Because I feel a lot of this has been, well, let's see what we have with our big free agent signing once he's back into the fold. Let's play a few games, see what this looks like before we really attack the trade deadline. I think that's been part of the pause here.
Yeah.
Has seen what does this look like? Because refresh my memory. We were not even a week into the season when he was popped with the PEDs early on.
It was three games.
Three games into it. Okay.
A whopping three games
into
the
year. So that was
the
big offseason move that Alex Anthopoulos made was Jerickson Profar.
Yes, all-star.
We have three games of data without Ronald Acuña playing opposite him. I think this is a very big next 7 to 10 days for this team to see what this lineup looks like with him included. How he plays opposite of Acuña. Can he be that quality number two hitter that you have desperately needed throughout the course of this entire season? If he is that ad, I expect the Braves to be very aggressive over the next 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
If it's up and down, he's kind of batting around 225. He's giving you Nick Allen type numbers. Then I don't think that the Braves are going to be as aggressive in pursuing and trying to make a run here because of so many things under control. I think you just kind of, all right, let's just play it out and we'll be aggressive in the 26th season. So I think this is, once you get him back tomorrow night, it's a very, to me, very interesting look into the view of the front office of this team.
Yeah.
What does Profar give you? I think it's going to be a very interesting barometer for Alex Anthopoulos over the next few weeks.
I tend to agree. A texter gets in and says, Nick, honey, I shrunk the infield Allen. That's a pretty good one from 039, I can't lie. But yeah, John, I agree with you in totality. I think Anthopoulos is going to want to see what his actual lineup that he planned to play coming into the season looks like for the first time this year, because that will be the closest we've seen to what the Braves look like healthy is what we're going to see tomorrow, or at least we anticipate with Profar slated to be your left fielder. But what do you, I guess, expect? I hate to be, this is going to come across as negative. I don't want to be too aggressive seven games in the hole or regardless of where you are. I don't want to be bartering with any prospect that I see has a realistic path to the major league level in the next couple of seasons. I don't want to part with Caminiti. I don't want to part with Baldwin. I don't want to part with any of these guys. And that leads me to believe, like, who can the Braves actually get without bartering one of their prospects that they're high on?
not anybody that the Braves fans want.
Yeah, like you're not getting a star player.
You're probably not. But then again, we don't know. Because like I said, we can't look at it in just as a vacuum with Braves prospects. We have to see what other situations are going on across the league. What other teams feel like they have no chance to re-sign somebody, therefore you go get something for them versus nothing. Like, for example, if there is a front office and a disagreement with a starting pitcher like the Braves were this time a year ago with Max Fried.
Don't remind me.
No, but the point being is it was known throughout everybody that he was not coming back to Atlanta.
Yes.
And where the Braves were last year, I'm not saying that in hindsight you should have gone back and traded him because, what, you were near the top of the division, you were contending. You didn't need to do that. But if you can find someone like that, and not necessarily to Max Fried's, like, AL Cy Young type of a caliber player, but go find somebody who's already told the front office, I'm not coming back no matter how much money you throw at me.
Yeah.
Like, there are moves to be made over the course of this month. We are now enjoying, the teams are going to start falling apart. I'm monitoring the San Francisco Giants very closely right now. 3-7 in their last 10. Can't find themselves a win.
No.
They're now, all of a sudden, they're 5 games above 500, but they're 8 games back in the division. So, there's a lot of situations out there. I mean, look at the NL West. Outside of the Athletics, it's kind of like the Central. Everybody's in contention, but the next 2 weeks could really alter that. So I think if you look at it in just the vacuum of the Braves prospects, you don't want to give up, but I don't want to limit the thought process of what could be.
Yeah.
Because this team isn't that far out of it. They're a spark for being back into things. And one of the things I'm very curious about this week in the communication between Anthopoulos and Snitker, with tomorrow night Jerks and Profar being back in the lineup, we assume. Who plays center field?
Ooh.
Who plays center field? Are they going to trot out Michael Harris back out there so you can see what the outfield that he envisioned when putting this team together can look like? Or does he continue to ride the pine? If it were me, I would be putting Eli White out there tomorrow night and tonight for that matter.
I think that Michael Harris is probably going to be back in center, to be honest. As far as Wednesday's game goes, I think tonight might be another rest day where you try and, you know, realign his focus, whatever it may be. And again, needs a little bit more than focus right now. Needs some prayer in all seriousness, because Lord, he's swinging at everything. I think that Anthopoulos, I wouldn't say almost has too much of an ego. But Anthopoulos has had this plan of what the lineup is going to look like, right? And you finally get Profar back after this much-weighted anticipation. I feel like that's like the natural time to slide Harris back in after a little bit of a hiatus and say, okay, here's your reset button. You've got Jurickson on your left. You've got Ronald on your right. This is what the lineup was supposed to look like. We're going to put you in the 9-hole where you're comfortable and have a chance to get it figured out because we can move everybody else down a spot, and we'll take the bullet of hitting Nick Allen 8th. That's what I would do. I'd put Harris back where he's best, which is in the 9-hole. I'd hit Allen 8th. I'd bump everybody down a slot, and I'd put Profar in my 2-hole as a guy that's on base merchant, right? And I'd have Ronnie hit leadoff with Profar in the 2-hole. I'd hit Olsen 3rd, Riley cleanup with Ozuna 5th. You can drop Murphy / Baldwin to 6th, Ozzie 7, Allen 8, and Michael Harris 9 is where I would be right now for Atlanta. So I think that Michael Harris probably gets slotted back into center field, if not tonight, likely tomorrow, to give Anthopoulos a better picture of what this team needs to look like. Because listen, as much as I love Eli White, which is as much as the next guy, this team needs Michael Harris to be Michael Harris to reach the heights that it wants to reach. If Eli White has to play out of necessity because of how bad your other options are. Again, good player. You need Money Mike that's hitting 20 home runs and flying over the base paths and making gold glove plays in center field. You need rookie Michael Harris right now. And that's really just what you need to tap back into, is a guy that can get on base like Michael Harris was at the early stages of his career, and a guy that can play excellent defense like Michael Harris always has at every stage of his career. So hopefully Mike can get it going, but man, the signs aren't necessarily pointing in the right direction, John. He's getting worse, which is the alarming part, and I'm a little bit shocked that he hasn't been sent back down to Gwinnett to play at Cool Ray and see if he can iron out some kinks. Chad the mailman says he has Dan Uggla disease. Don't say that name around here, Chad. I had blocked that that part of Braves lore out of my memory with Freddie Gonzalez and Dan Uggla in that era of Braves.
Hey, but
ball.
Freddie's back.
Freddie is back and getting people thrown out at
Gonzalez,
home.
Gonzalez, not Freeman.
Texter gets in and says Ozuna needs to be shut down. He's hitting worse than Harris right now. His average was 186 in June. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, and I agree with you, 062. Unfortunately, the Braves haven't agreed with my assessment on just about anything this year, so I don't know if they agree right now, and I think they might be trying to play a little bit of survivor until the All-Star break. That's what it screams to me, at least, John, is that they're trying to just get Ozuna to the All-Star break.
Yeah, it seems that way. Maybe you give him a little bit of time off on this on the road trip. Yeah, in a week or so.
Yeah.
But I think when you're at home, yeah, he's going to keep playing.
Yeah.
Would it be beneficial to shut him down? Yeah, but we talked about this a little bit yesterday. If you are to shut him down, which may be the right decision, okay, well then what do you do? How do you fill out the lineup day in and day out? Because on individual day we talked about it. Yeah, you can just, catch Murphy and DH Baldwin or vice versa. Okay, well, then you are a weird baseball injury away from now having to completely scramble and put this thing back together again.
I'd call up Carlos Rodriguez, and I'd let him grab a bat. That would be my solution.
Educate me on Carlos Rodriguez.
Carlos Rodriguez, I don't know how to describe him other than like as a career kind of like minor leaguer type of guy. He's a guy that's in Gwinnett right now, and he's hitting pretty well in Gwinnett. And I'm a believer that in the current scenario that you're in, you might as well try something. And Carlos Rodriguez for the Stripers this year, 24-year-old left-handed corner outfielder. He's got a 300 average and a 365 OBP with a 713 OPS, 14 stolen bases, 81 hits, 2 homers, and 21 RBIs. Again, not a world beater. He doesn't have a power tool. He's a contact and on-base guy that's a pretty good defender and can steal bases. I don't really understand why he hasn't been called up yet to at least give him a look over an Alex Verdugo. But I see a guy that's got a contact bat that's had success this year at the minor league level. I see the fact that he's got a 292 career average at the minor league level with a 357 career OBP. This isn't some fluke. This kid can clearly swing the bat. I would give Carlos Rodriguez a look, and I'm not really sure why he hasn't gotten a look over a guy like Alex Verdugo yet, John, so that would be my solution for the Braves.
Is that like an options thing?
It might be an options thing. It might be a team control thing, but like he's not listed as one of the Braves' top prospects. He is he's getting close to 25 years old already and has never made his major league debut. Like, what are you waiting on?
Is he on the 40, man?
Let me check on that status real quick.
Because I wonder if that could be the holdup.
That could be the holdup, yeah.
He's not on the 40, then, yeah, he can't make his way up. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That wouldn't surprise me if he's not on the 40. Let me check on that right now. But I'd dump Austin Cox or maybe not Aaron Bummer because he's actually been pretty decent, but dump a couple. Nathan Wiles is on the 40, man. Like, there's no need. Let me check. Okay, I'm looking at the 40, man. He is on the 40, man. So I don't know what the hesitation is. I really don't. Kelnick's still on the 40 man as well, but I'd call up Carlos Rodriguez. He's been hitting the ball pretty well down in Gwinnett at Cool-Ray, and you got a 300 guy, a guy that's hitting 300 over 270 ABs just sitting there. You need corner outfield help, and you've needed it for months. He's been on the 40 man the whole time. Why are we giving at bats to Alex Verdugo? I guess I just don't really get it. Like, I know I'm thinking out loud here, but this isn't going to change your season or anything, but it feels like that's worth a try, no?
And one would think, but I'm fascinated to know that Jared Kelnick is still on this team. I thought y'all would have DFA'd him and sent him somewhere else, but I'm glad to know that he's out there not hustling in Gwinnett.
I was going to say, let's wrap the Braves with a little bit of a fun fact that'll make you laugh. He's somehow regressed in AAA and been worse in AAA than he was in the majors with Jared Kelnick. He's hitting like 170 in AAA. So, yeah, former top prospect in baseball.
What a fluke last year was for him.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Bad prospect that's been bad his whole career, doesn't pan out. This is one of the biggest busts in Major League Baseball history, and people are going to...
Well, I don't know about history. You got Major League service time out of him. There's a lot that never make it as far as he did.
He did. That is fair.
And actually had a productive season for the Braves last year. It was just a...
He had a decent
1 year window.
He had a decent little 2023 for Seattle as well. And then this year, -6 WAR in 25, 25 games seems borderline impressively bad for Kelnick. We'll take a quick break here. John, we've got kind of a fact or fiction, but really just kind of a general topic sparker for college football. And we have a lot of college football to talk about over the remaining hour and a half of a program today. So get in with us at 654 Roar. We've got much to discuss within the ACC, within the SEC. We're going to be talking quarterbacks, schedules, skill position players, and more. If you guys need a college football primer or are looking to get ready for the college football season, we'll have you for the remainder of the hour minimum here on The Roar. Stick with us here as hour number two continues.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
No one wants it to happen to them, but unfortunately, chances are good that at some point, it'll happen to you. Roof troubles. It's one of the most important parts of your biggest investment. So when you need repairs or a new installation, you need someone who you can trust to get the job done right. You need Joe Robertson and Son Roofing.
As a family-owned and operated roofing company since 1965, Joe Robertson and Son have built a reputation for quality craftsmanship. It's why thousands of upstate home and business owners have chosen them for their roofing needs. Beyond providing quality work they're proud to stand by, Joe Robertson and Son Roofing also takes a client-first approach to their job. That means quality roofing, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. Put it all together, and it's easy to see why they're the upstate's premier roofing provider.
You can't cut corners when it comes to roof repairs and installation, so go with the trusted name in the upstate. Go with Joe Robertson and Son Roofing. Get started today by visiting them online at robertsonroofing.net.
Do you want to be part of a winning team? Arthrex is hiring. They develop innovative technologies to treat orthopedic sports injuries and help people get back in the game. And best of all, they've been recognized as one of the country's best workplaces in manufacturing and production for 9 years. If you're looking to make a difference, learn new skills, and be part of an award-winning culture, check out careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com. No manufacturing experience required.
Hey y'all, Robert Kraft here, owner of Clemson Sock Shop, located inside New Teak Boutique on Pendleton Square. Whether you're looking for funny socks, funky socks, practical socks, or nostalgic socks, we've got you covered. We're a family-owned small business and are sure to carry a sock that will make you and your feet smile. Shop with us Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays until 4 inside New Teak Boutique on Pendleton Square, where it's always buy five, get one free. Clemson Sock Shop. It's fun fashion for your feet.
If you think Taco Bell is only for late night, you are mistaken. Taco Bell is also for daytime, which is why it's introducing the new Cantina Chicken menu with new Cantina Chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla. And new ingredients like seasoned slow-roasted chicken, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded purple cabbage, and even a new avocado verde salsa packet. It's the Taco Bell for when it's not late night.
Whoa, not just late night. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu now. At participating U.S. Taco Bell locations while supplies last. Contact store for participation with spares.
Coach Dabo Swinney here from the Clemson Tigers. Just like high schools across the upstate, Clemson fans love football. But one thing I love more than football is my family. That's why we talk to our three children about alcohol and other drugs. Alcohol is the leading cause of death among youth. But the truth is, most upstate youth aren't drinking or using drugs. Remind your teenagers that most teens choose to be healthy and drug-free. Talk to your teens about drugs and alcohol. They will listen. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
Tired of the same old look? Want to get a fresh, stylish haircut for the summer? Rooster's Grooming is the place to be. With highly skilled barbers and a comfortable, relaxed environment, Rooster's Grooming offers a unique grooming experience that's second to none. Whether it's a classic cut or a modern style, their team can make it happen. So why wait? Get your summer haircut at Rooster's Grooming. Make an appointment today by calling 864-884-8920. Rooster's Grooming, where style meets tradition.
Hi, Zoe Saldana. Welcome to T-Mobile. Here's your new iPhone 16 Pro on us.
Thanks. And here's my old phone to trade in.
You don't need a trade-in. When you switch to T-Mobile, we'll give you a new iPhone 16 Pro. Plus, we'll help you pay off your old phone up to $800, and you still get to keep it.
There's always a trade-in.
Not right now at T-Mobile.
I feel like I have to give you something in return for karma.
That's okay.
I don't really have much in my purse. Oh, let's see. Hand sanitizer? It's lavender.
I'm good. Seriously.
Let me check this pocket. Oh, mints?
Really, I'm fine.
Oh, I have raisins. I'm a mom. Wait one sec. I've got cupcakes in the car.
It's our best iPhone offer ever. Switch to T-Mobile. Get a new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence on us. No trade-in needed. We'll even pay off your phone up to $800.
With 24 monthly bill credits, new line, $100 plus a month on experience beyond finance agreement, $999.99 and qualifying ported. For well-qualified plus tax and $10 connection charge, payoff via virtual prepaid for below 15 days. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The lake, sunscreen, a cold beverage, and The Roar. All the essentials to help you get through the summer heat. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on The Roar. Real quick, before we get back into the action, folks, you need to go with Great Southern Homes if you're looking to build a home. They're the leading builder in the Southeast, offering quality-built, affordable homes tailored for today's growing families with plans and communities to fit every lifestyle. They emphasize green living and energy efficiency in their homes. They incorporate features like R38 attic insulation, tankless water heaters, and Energy Star appliances to promote a smart and sustainable living experience. Their communities are strategically located across South Carolina, North Carolina, and the Augusta, Georgia area, ensuring proximity to schools, shopping, and recreational facilities. Great Southern Homes also provides model homes for prospective buyers to explore, ensuring transparency and confidence in their offerings. With a commitment to quality, affordability, and customer satisfaction, Great Southern Homes is dedicated to helping you find your dream home in the Southeast. Visit GreatSouthernHomes.com to learn more today. That's GreatSouthernHomes.com to learn more today. John, we're shifting gears to college football. Something that we do have to get to on the back end, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander just got the Supermax. Let's save that for the final segment of the program because I think we both have thoughts and the dollar signs are ridiculous. But I know we do have a lot of college football to get to over the course of the program today, including a team that is definitely going to provide a lot of intrigue here locally in Tigertown.
So, if you may have missed the program last week, we're starting a very, very original concept here on the program that nobody has ever done before. And a segment we're going to do just to kind of just get the football wheels turning a little bit, a little something called Fact or Fiction. No one's ever done this before, so we're going to try it out. I got one here, and I thought was interesting. Because you had said something yesterday, and we had Bengal John get in on yesterday's program, theroarfm.com, if you missed any of yesterday's show. And now, obviously, we know we have the big game in Death Valley, Week 1, LSU against Clemson. But you had said something yesterday that made me want to bring this topic up today. Because you had said it in passing, and then we went to break, and we kind of discussed it a little bit more off air. You said, I don't know why Brian Kelly is not on any hot seat lists. And then we went to the break and kind of went through some hot seat lists that we did a quick Google search and found out that he was actually very high on a lot of these lists.
Yeah.
So last year, after going 8-4 with a bad defense and a very prolific offense, LSU went out in for year two of Blake Baker and went and, you know, spent some money on some pass rushers. Patrick Payton from Florida State, Jack Pyburn from Florida. They went and, you know, upgraded the secondary. They have spent some money doing so there. New wide receivers come in, Nick Anderson from Oklahoma, Barry and Brown from Kentucky, and you're replacing two draft picks at offensive tackle. You do return Garrett Nussmeier. Caden Durham, the true sophomore at tailback, was a very big bright spot last year in a very underwhelming rushing attack for the LSU Tigers. You do have Whit Weeks coming back, anchoring down the middle of that defense at linebacker. Harold Perkins is back for another year. But I'll say last year, LSU went 8-4, 5-3 in the SEC. Not good enough for what you were spending. And I think LSU fans and Brian Kelly would tell you first and foremost that 8-4 last year was not good enough. So Faxon, in 2025, fact or fiction, LSU goes 7-5 and Brian Kelly gets fired.
I'm looking at the schedule. I'm going to say fiction. And I don't know. I'm looking through some of these articles. I saw Josh Pate do an interview and kind of a segment on college football coaches that are on the hot seat. And his takeaway was that Kelly isn't necessarily on the hot seat yet, but he will be if they don't make the playoff. I think I'm kind of somewhere in between him being firmly on the hot seat and where Pate's at. Like, I don't know. If they go 7-5, does that constitute a firing this year? Like, I guess that's the part where I'm more skeptical. You can sell me that they're going to go 7-5. I could buy into that with the schedule and with the fact that they could start 0-1 with Clemson, and they've got a bunch of difficult games, and some of them are on the road. I can buy fact with that part. I am more inclined to buy fact of the 7-5 element. I just don't know if LSU would actually go gun to head and fire him. I think they might give him one more year, so with that part is where I start to creep in with some of the fiction.
In his time at LSU, he has gone 10-4, 10-3, and 9-4. He is 29-11 overall, 17-7 in SEC play.
I don't know if they would fire him. Do I think I would fire him if I were the athletic director? Yeah, but I don't know if they would fire him. Like, when you roll through the schedule at Clemson, I think they're going to lose that game. Louisiana Tech, you get Florida at home, you get Southeast Louisiana, so you get two gimmies with Florida sandwiched in between. Then you're on the road at Ole Miss. After a bye week, you're back at home against South Carolina. Then you have to go at Vandy, back at home against Texas A&M. Then bye week at Alabama, Arkansas, Western Kentucky, and at Oklahoma. I could definitely see 4+ losses on that schedule.
Let me tell you why I'm going to go fact here. I think I agree with a lot of what Bengal John said on yesterday's program. And I said, I think Blake Baker was a phenomenal hire when it was made for the defense for LSU and now going into year two. Problem is, I don't think the secondary is going to be all that much better. I don't know how much better they're going to be at stopping the run. And so when I look at the schedule, I think they're going to lose at Clemson. I think you have the chance, if DJ Lagway is billed to everything that everyone is saying that he is, you have the chance to lose that one with the dynamic Florida passing attack. And at Ole Miss, that's a weird rivalry. Things get crazy in that stadium. And I think Lane Kiffin can cook some stuff up against that defense. Okay, so now you're potentially at 2-3 going into the bye week. You have South Carolina at Vanderbilt, Texas A&M at home. If everything is true about Texas A&M's rushing attack, you're probably going to lose that game at home. If everything is true that we have talked about with Lenora Sellers and the hope and promise that can be with South Carolina this year, there's a chance you lose that game. So now you may even be at your 5 right there. But I'm not saying you're going to lose, you know, all those. I certainly think you could beat Vanderbilt. At Alabama, I think Kalen DeBoer is going to have a much better offense in year two. Much more consistent attack. I think at Oklahoma in the final game of the year, if you already have several losses on the schedule and you're already not making the playoff, and John Mateer and those boys are cooking, I think they could run it up on you. And if that is the case where you do miss the playoff and the last game of the regular season is at Oklahoma and John Mateer is running around on senior day having a great time, and you are billed as, and the messaging is every coach who comes to LSU since the year 2000 wins a national title.
Yeah.
And if that comes true, if you're 7-5 or even 8-4, then you will continue to have just regressed every year since he took the job with a Heisman Trophy in tow with Jane Daniels.
Am I crazy for kind of saying that a lot of this might not even be Brian Kelly's fault, and I still think he's a pretty good coach? Like, I'm not disagreeing with anything that you're saying. I just, if they were to hypothetically fire Brian Kelly, I think it would be less than 4 hours before he's named the head coach at another Power 4 program.
Oh, no, yeah, no, he is. I don't want to make it out like Brian Kelly is a nincompoop who has no idea what he's doing. He's a very successful football coach who has won he's the all-time winningest coach at Notre Dame. was 34-6 at Cincinnati.
Yeah, if they go 118-35
at Grand Valley State. Like, the man is an incredible football coach. You're right. If he gets canned at LSU, he will be picked up in 72 hours.
Like, I'm sure Arkansas would can Pittman for him or something.
Right, but it may not be the right fit of Brian Kelly at LSU. That fit is just as big of a deal as the talent of your coaching acumen.
I agree. I don't think it's a culture fit, and it hasn't necessarily been a culture fit since he started doing the weird fake accent, if you know, you know, when he took the job in Baton Rouge.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He started faking having a Southern accent. A bunch of texters are flooding in saying you have to fire him if you go 7-5, and that seems to be where the majority of the audience is at.
So I think another point in this, what if Notre Dame goes back to the playoff?
Yeah, that has
to
be
Notre Dame is 11-1 again and is getting a bye? Because we've changed the ruling again. It's straight seeding. Notre Dame can get the bye now. If Notre Dame, because now that it's multiple years of Notre Dame improving after Brian Kelly and LSU regressing, I could see LSU pulling the trigger just off that alone.
The optics are terrible.
Especially because Marcus Freeman could have been the defensive coordinator for Ed Orgeron, but chose to go be the defensive coordinator for Brian Kelly at Notre Dame and ended up becoming the head coach at Notre Dame. Like, there's a what-if scenario that Marcus Freeman's the head coach at LSU, and you're not having to do that much crazy, you know, revisionist history to make that happen.
Agreed. I'm conflicted. I'm conflicted. I think if they go 7-5, there's a much better chance that he gets fired than 8-4. And I will say, I think there's a fine line between that. And weirdly enough, in a scenario like this, this is one of the circumstances where I think bowl games still matter. Because I think you could backdoor your way into 9-4 with a bowl game win, or you could backdoor your way into 10-3 with a bowl game win, and you could be like, look, we were so close, but even if you weren't.
Here's the thing, though. He's already done
that
twice.
He's already done that with Dewey
Daniels. And he did it last year to get the win in the Texas Bowl or whatever it was to get him to 9-4. He's done that 3 years in a row now.
Yeah. This is a rough dynamic. I don't know. Like, I don't know what I would do, because I guess this breeds the conversation. We've got a couple texts that I'm going to read off. Who would the replacement even be for LSU? Because that's where I don't like to call out saying this person's on the hot seat or they should make a move without having a logical replacement to point to, even if just in a hypothetical sense to say, okay, this would make sense from a culture perspective or this could be a fit. Where would LSU go if they were to hypothetically fire Brian Kelly after this season? That would be my question.
They would try to get Dan Lanning, get told no there.
They'd probably call
whoever Jimmy Sexton told him to call. Like, they would go big game hunting.
They go big game hunting.
Yeah, whoever's available. You know, they'd probably make another run at Marcus Freeman.
Texter gets in and says, Faxon, what on earth? He's a terrible coach. He couldn't win a natty at Notre Dame, and he'll never come close at LSU. Terrible coach and terrible person. Tell it how it is. He's Jimbo 2.0. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that, man. Listen, on the off-the-field stuff and the whole circumstances, I'm not going to that's obviously like a horrible situation, and we're not going to touch on that too much here. So separating this and just talking football, Brian Kelly from 2017 through 2023 logged 7 consecutive 10-win seasons. There's something to be said about that. I know he didn't win a national championship. There's something to be said about that.
The guy's a very good football coach.
He's a darn good football coach.
We don't have to like him or tolerate him, but he's a very good football coach.
At Notre Dame postseason from 2015, he had the one down year in 2016. From 2015 to 2021 at Notre Dame, they finished the year 11th, 11th, 5th, 12th, 5th, and 8th, and they won 10-plus seasons in every game except for 2016. They went 12-1 in 18. They won 11 games 4 times throughout that stretch. So you don't have to like Kelly. I don't like the guy. Off the field, that's a whole different ball game. We're talking ball. Brian Kelly can coach ball. And that's, he took a 10-win team. He took that LSU team in 2022 that did not have a team. They had to legitimately just scrap together a team at the last second because of how late he took the job in the cycle, and they still won 10 games. And then he turned Jaden Daniels into a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. So again, you don't have to like the guy. I think he's a pretty good coach that a lot of teams would be banging down the door for his services if he were fired. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be fired. I'm not saying if he should. I don't really know. This is one of the more weird evaluations for me because I don't know where LSU would turn. But John, I kind of want to bring something up and take this in a different angle if you're cool with that real quick. So with LSU, are the expectations at LSU the way that they are, because of nostalgia, 2019, or a combination of both? Because if we want to just separate this from, let's say for sake of convenience, a decade. So we'll go back to the 2014-2015 season. LSU, 9-3. Or actually, if we're going 2014-2015, 8-5, 9-3, 8-4, 9-4, 10-3, 15-0, 5-5, 6-7. They fire Orgeron. Then they go 10-4, 10-3, 9-4. My comment and my response to the Brian Kelly, like, we have to fire him if we go blank. This is what you've been for a decade. I think that 2019 may have just given a false sense of what the expectations need to be at this institution.
But also, every coach has stumbled into a title, and I think that's the issue there.
That is true.
He's not coming close to stumbling into something. And like Les Miles fumbled his way into a national title.
Well, he was there a decade. He was there over a decade. Like, Kelly's received less than half the time. Maybe I know it sounds like I'm probably banging the drum for this guy. I just don't think that this is the powerhouse blue blood program that many view it as, especially in the NIL landscape where the game has changed. And what is fair to say when the game officially changed? The year after COVID, 2021? This is what LSU is after COVID. 6-7, 10-4, 10-3, 9-4. Joe Burrow isn't walking through those doors.
You're correct. He's not. He's a one-of-one program player. However, I'm going to agree with Noah here in the Adams & Co. Roofing text line. Just because you've been average doesn't mean you have to settle for average. They want more because they've done it before.
I agree with that sentiment.
That you may be right that he's not done enough to warrant a removal of his post. However, the people that cut those checks,
that is true,
are demanding more than he has delivered. And in a day and age where you can legally above board pay the players, but you don't have to take money from a hospital and reroute it into a family's bank account now.
Yeah.
In a 12-team playoff. That's the other thing, too. We've expanded the postseason here. Four teams like LSU to get in.
That is a good point. That's the best point made.
Yeah. So, like, got to get it done. We are paying you all the money. We are paying all of your coaches. We are paying all of these players in a 12-team field. Got to deliver here.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, because I could be misremembering or missing a season. LSU has one total playoff appearance in the whole playoff era, correct? And it was the year they won the national title.
That is correct.
I just, if I'm looking at a program, and we'll take a quick break, we'll continue to walk this out. You guys are bombing the text line, which I love, and we'll get to a ton of these. 654 Roar. When I look at the SEC in totality, and when I look at programs that are slated or what I believe to be slated for success in this new era of college football, for whatever reason, maybe it's a lack of age, a lack of insight, whatever it may be, maybe there's a little bit of a bias. I don't really care about LSU. I don't see LSU as one of those power players in the SEC that's going to be slated for a year-to-year college football playoff appearance. That's just not where I'm at. And in all honesty, I would take a program like Florida and their current standing with their recruiting and their resources and their trajectory over a program like LSU. Even though I know that the success hasn't been there in the last decade specifically, I think that the bar and the pendulum has moved a little bit too far in the wrong direction with LSU for what the expectations are, and I get it. Listen, Les Miles was winning 13 games in 2011. They win the national championship, and then Orgeron has this magical year where they blow out everybody en route to a national championship, right? I understand. The precedent's been set in the playoff era that you can win a championship at LSU. But with the way that the Orgeron era just kind of unfolded, right, going 5-5 and then 6-6, and the 2 years before that you had 3-plus losses and you didn't go to the playoff, this is what LSU football is, bar one season in the last decade. That's kind of where I'm at on this thing. That's not saying that they should settle for less, like Noah's saying on the text line. That's not saying that they shouldn't make a move, right, and strive for more. But I feel like people don't necessarily understand that this isn't some blue blood program that's just been a year-to-year name basis in the college football playoff conversation over the course of the last decade. We'll walk this out a little bit more on the other side of a quick break here with Faxon and John. Final segment of hour number two up next.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Are you ready for the best bang this July 4th? Experience all the excitement with Carolina Fireworks. Best prices and selection in the upstate. Family owned and operated since 1948 with 5 convenient locations to fill your needs. All locations listed at carolinafireworks.net. Teachers, military, fire, and police get a discount with proper ID on top of the already great prices. Visit Carolina Fireworks at any of our 5 upstate locations. Carolina Fireworks, we'll take your breath away.
Spring is here, and summer's right around the corner. Is your backyard ready? At Harbin Lumber Company, we have everything you need to build the perfect deck for grilling, chilling, and making memories. From top-quality wood and composite decking to railings and accessories, we've got it all. Durable, beautiful, and built to last. Your dream deck starts at Harbin Lumber. Visit Harbin Lumber today and get decked out for the season. Call or stop by, because great decks start with great materials. Visit us in-store or online at harbinlumber.com.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Mr. Rage here, inviting you to join 2001 Florida State Frisbee Distance Champion Ramona and all the Rages on Tuesday as we continue our daily college football conversation. We also start a team-by-team, division-by-division detailed breakdown of the National Football League. NBA trades are happening. Porter was just dealt 2 minutes after the show ended, of course, and more on a Road Rages Tuesday. I'll see you then.
Braves, the Bravos, the team of the 90s, or whatever else you call them.
First pitch, ground ball right side, diving stop by Ozzie from his knee, two first, got him. Whoa, what a play by Albies, have a day.
You can catch all their games right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Final segment, hour number 2 here on the program with Faxon and John. Getting back in the swing of things with college football. I got a ton of topics to talk about. 654-ROAR is the number. And it feels like, reading through the text line, I'm probably in the minority to an extent here on the Kelly thing. But I want to read off a couple texts to hopefully provide some additional perspective, which is kind of where I'm at on this thing. So 420 gets in and says, is the brand of LSU being inflated in the eyes of most because they had arguably the greatest team ever assembled? 2019 is the exception, not the rule. And that's kind of where I'm at on LSU. Like, I look through the past decade of LSU football from my eyes and my lens, and I see a bunch of teams that have wasted great talent and one team that's the greatest college football team ever. You had Jaden Daniels, a transcendent quarterback talent that just had the best rookie season in the history of the National Football League, and you won 10 games? You went 10-3 and didn't make the playoff? And you want to scroll back and look through a ton of these other teams, like, they've had talent. I guess that's just kind of the way that I view LSU football over the last decade is always super talented, usually pretty underwhelming. That one year, they were really good with all of the NFL Hall of Fame players they had, and after that, it's just been kind of, eh, all right, whatever. Maybe that's a short-sighted way of viewing things, but I view this as a pretty perennially disappointing program with the exception of one year.
In terms of the brand being inflated by the one team, yeah. Just like Clemson's brand was elevated because of Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence and Taj Boyd, and you know, Alabama's program was elevated because of Mark Ingram and Julio Jones and Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens in this sport. Certainly. I'm not necessarily all that disagreement with you on your take on LSU the past 10 years. Where I will differ from you is the view of thinking that Florida is ahead of LSU right now. You've listed off the 15 years or 10 years of inconsistency for LSU, and I would just say compare that to what Florida has done, and LSU looks like the model of consistency.
Yeah, and that is fair.
And projecting forward, I just feel like, based on the way the two programs are set up right now, have been operating, and I feel like will continue to operate, I feel like LSU, you could plug and play a coach in there and find success. Florida, I don't think you can, because a lot of this is hinged on the back half of last year of DJ Lagway. I think we have seen LSU replace quarterbacks at far more of a successful clip than Florida has.
That's a good point.
Florida hasn't had a successful quarterback. I mean, they went from Tim Tebow to DJ Lagway. It was 15 years. They went 15 years without quality quarterback play at that school, other than that one year of Kyle Trask and COVID.
Florida has been pretty much a wreck since Urban left, which is fair to categorize. Like, they had 2 years with Dan Mullen where they were very good, and then the guy threw the shoe and everything went downhill. That's the best. LSU Florida.
Like, I feel like if you're going to compare LSU to what Nick Saban did at Alabama, then yes, they have fallen short of the goal. If you're going to compare them, though, to like 85% of the SEC,
they've been pretty good.
They've been, yes. So that's why I feel like I am not where you are, where I still view them in a fairly high status.
I view them, they're a safe 8-win team every year. Like, LSU rolls the ball out and they're going to get you 8 every year pretty much regardless of what happens. The difference between that, Florida has the volatility to drop below that, which is what we've seen in 3 of the last 4 seasons, right? Where they won 8 last year, but they won 5, 6, and 6 before that. And to preface, the argument for me isn't that Florida's had the more successful last 10 years. It would be for the next 5 to 10, I would personally take Florida. I understand that I'm up against the odds arguing that from a logic perspective based on what the last 10 have looked like. I just buy in a little bit more as to what's going on in Gainesville there, even with the lack of stability over the last decade at the head coach spot. I'm not pumping the Kool-Aid for Billy Napier of all people, but the recruiting's seen a massive uptick, and I know that the investment level in that athletic department is always going to be top-notch. They just won a national championship in basketball. It's an everything school where their whole athletic department is well-rounded every single year. Same could be said about LSU, where they win in baseball, right? So these are two programs and athletic departments that are shaping up to be the focal point for a lot of conversations in the new age of collegiate athletics. And that much can't really be debated by anyone. For the next 5, I would take Florida. That's just where I'm at right now. There's not a lot from the last 10 that would, you know, bolster my argument as far as history goes, but I like the trajectory of what Florida's got going on. I like Lagway a lot. I like the way that they're recruiting. And for LSU, there's a lot of volatility right now. And also for LSU, like, you mentioned it, I think, the other day. LSU hasn't had a defense outside of that one season in the last decade and a half of college football. That's got to be acknowledged at some point. The Honey Badger's not walking through those doors. It's been a very uphill battle for that program, historically speaking, on that side of the football, to acquire the requisite level of talent to compete with the top dogs in the SEC. So, I don't know. I don't know where I'm at on LSU. I don't know if firing Brian Kelly is the right decision, to be candid, even if they do go 7-5. But that's just because of the skepticism with who the replacement option would be in a hypothetical scenario. I saw a couple texters get in and say Lincoln Riley. Any bites there from you, John? Do you think that makes sense from a culture perspective?
No, and financially, no. I don't know if you can afford to get him out of there.
Yeah.
It's a private school. We don't know the details of the contract, but stuff that I have read makes me lead to believe that Lincoln Riley is going to be in Southern California for quite some time.
For sure. 420 gets in and says they had Daniels with Brian Thomas Jr. and Neighbors. Listen, that's my takeaway on LSU, and I know that clearly based off the audience response, I'm in the minority. I think they've wasted talent in just about every year. Like that's kind of how I view that program is, yeah, they waste talent every year and they underachieve every year, but they did have that one team with Joe Burrow 6 years ago. That's kind of where I'm at on LSU, whether that's fair or not. So I don't think that Brian Kelly is a culture fit in Baton Rouge. That is one thing I will say on the Brian Kelly front. I think that I told John this off air during the break. I think that Brian Kelly is like a dream to coach at a Big Ten school. Like at Penn State, I would love Brian Kelly to be the coach of Penn State. They'd win championships there. But as far as Baton Rouge goes, I think that's been kind of a disconnect since day one, John, with the fake Southern accent stuff and the, you know, just back and forth about, you know, the culture and what the identity of the program looks like there. So I don't know. I don't think that Kelly is necessarily the guy that gets them back to a championship standard of football, but on the same tangent, it would be a risky decision in my eyes to fire him unless you're very confident in what the replacement option could be. So long-winded discussion on Brian Kelly here this morning, but that's kind of where I'm at on everything related to him and what the culture looks like in Baton Rouge and what the culture looks like related to the program at LSU. Let's get Noah from Spartanburg in here on this discourse. 654-ROAR is the number. Noah, good to hear from you. How we doing?
Good. How are you doing today, man?
We're doing well.
Good. I agree really with most of what you're saying about Kelly and him not being a good fit at LSU. I just like to play devil's advocate and hear both sides. That's kind of why I was asking the questions I was asking today.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Line.
Let's hear it.
But question, how do you feel about Michigan going into this year? I know it's not really kind of a random team that from what we've been talking about, but I've been looking at them and I don't know how to feel about them. Like, do you see them competing for the Big Ten or?
I think there's too much unknown right now. There's too much unknown with Michigan for me to feel comfortable backing them to compete with the Ohio States and the Penn States and the Oregons of the world. I think that Michigan has an inherently very high floor with the way that they've established their program. They're going to go to a bowl game every year. They're probably going to get you to 7 or 8 wins every year. But this season specifically, Noah, with the suspension of Sherrone Moore to start the season for a couple of games, with all the moving pieces around that program, with the investigations and more of the last couple of seasons, I have a really hard time buying stock into the fact that that team's going to be vying for a playoff spot or competing within that league. I just think that Penn State, Oregon, and Ohio State are a step above them, respectfully. I would have them in that next category in the Big Ten for sure, but I wouldn't even bank on the fact that Michigan is 100% going to be better than a team like Nebraska this year, in all honesty. I also think USC is slated to take a pretty big step forward, and I like USC and what they've got with Maiva.
Can we just say, though, can we just give a great round of applause to that man, Sherrone Moore, for that great character check of the self-imposed two-game suspension? I mean, my goodness, two huge games he's choosing to sit out, too. I mean,
yeah.
We need to just – let's just give him a round of applause today. I mean, what a great guy he is. That's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, I'm jaded against Michigan for life, as y'all know. That whole thing is a clown show up there in Ann Arbor.
Do you think the freshman they paid a bunch of money, he starts right away? Or in
yes.
my opinion, I think he probably starts like they probably roll him out like week 4 or 5. I don't know. Like, what do you think?
I think he's going to start. I think Bryce Underwood's going to start. I don't think they would have paid him that much money if they didn't intend to start him. Mikey Keene is a grad transfer that came in who's got some limited experience over the course of a couple seasons. He started in 2023, had a pretty good year, started in 2024. He's been at Fresno State in Central Florida. I don't think he's a Big Ten caliber quarterback. I think he's a good little player. He could be a bridge guy if you do need a couple weeks, like you're alluding to, Noah, to kind of get you over. You also have Jaden Davis and a Davis Warren in the tank if you need those guys and their services. But for me personally, I think Underwood's starting week one, game one, and I think they throw him into the fire.
All right, last thing. I did see, this is NFL related, I did see a report that Deshaun Watson is taking Shadur under his wing, and I saw someone say that's like when Ralphie took Jackie Jr. from The Sopranos under his wing. So that made me laugh a little bit. And Thank you as always, man. I'll take the rest off the air. I hope y'all have a great rest of y'all's week.
Yeah, appreciate you checking in with us, Noah. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to get in. And Texter gets in and I said, I've heard a lot about Underwood being out of shape and lazy, might not be ready by the season. To be honest, I haven't done a ton of keeping up with the Michigan beat and what they're saying about Bryce Underwood. If I'm paying that guy that much money, he's starting. I can guarantee you that. I don't know if that's what the political hierarchy looks like in Michigan. Admittedly, I'm not too educated on what the valuation of how much money they're paying versus playing time looks like. Every coaching staff and athletic department has their own way to attack that kind of topic, John. But I would start Bryce Underwood. They're paying him a ridiculous fee for his services this year.
They are. But this was one of those deals that you had to get in before the House settlement was passed.
Yeah, that is true.
I think that there is a long-term play here. I don't think that they are trying to rush him on the field. I think that's why you go out and you have a Mikey Keene and you got Captain Interception Jake Garcia to come in as two seniors who can play football for you. Because I think the plan is for Bryce Underwood to be the quarterback of the back half of the season and of the future. I would not be starting him right out the gate. In terms of them as a team this year, I think I am higher on the Wolverines than you are. I actually think that there is a little bit of something to buy here.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm not buying Nebraska yet. Like I know what that's the one of the games he's suspended for, I believe, because I think he's allowed to coach at the Oklahoma game because they did a weird staggered suspension for him.
Right, because they even have to cheat their own suspension.
And sir, in terms of like the teams you were listing off there, like I still have pause about Southern Cal. I don't know if they are ready to make that next jump. I don't think Wisconsin's going to be all that good this year. I have some questions about how far of a step that Damon Williams can take Washington's offense this year. I mean, and what they have at Michigan State, Purdue, at Northwestern, at Maryland, that looks like a whole bunch of wins in a row.
They get a pretty fortunate schedule break to avoid both Penn State and Oregon in the midst of their Big Ten slate. They do have to conclude with an Ohio State game in Ann Arbor, but
Michigan, they own them.
I was going to say right now, that's like legit. Like Ohio State was clearly the best team in the country last year, and they boat raced the playoff to a national championship for the most part, and they still lost that crappy Michigan team. So maybe that's going to be another win for Michigan. Final hour of the program. We'll continue to walk out some college football topics right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpen.